If you walk past the Music Hall of Williamsburg on a Sunday morning, you'll see a mostly young crowd of people waiting in line, excited and antsy. But they're not there for a concert. They're there for C3 Church Global, a Pentecostal megachurch with a global following in the hundreds of thousands. The church is set to open its fourth New York City location in Brooklyn's Fort Greene neighborhood next month. But it's also got a questionable background with accusations of embezzlement and child abuse. Kathleen Culleton covers Northern Brooklyn for the website Patch. She recently wrote about C3 Church Global, and she joins us now in the studio. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, megachurches certainly aren't new to Brooklyn. There's the huge Christian Cultural Center out in East New York with a congregation of around 40,000 people. But this church, C3, seems to be going after the avocado toast crowd, as you call it. Tell us about the demographic that they're trying to attract.
Absolutely. They are young, and they are definitely cooler than I am. And
me too.
And they come to New York City wanting to be models and musicians and actors, and they're looking for, I think, a community, and they're finding it at C3.
So in reporting on this, you weren't able to get access into the church itself, but you said you gleaned a lot from social media. What did you learn?
I learned that their sermons look a lot like rock concerts. Like, as you said, they're in the Music Hall of Williamsburg, so you see these beautiful pictures.
Just the venue itself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And you look inside and you see, like, the big dramatic lights and the band is playing and people are cheering, and it's hard to tell if you didn't know that this was a church institution, that this was about religion. It looks like it's about having a good time.
So were people posting on social media about it, taking pictures and stuff like
Absolutely. That? Absolutely. They have a big social media following. If you go onto Instagram and look for C3 Brooklyn, you're going to see a lot of people posting about dinner parties and sermons and lecture series that they do. They do great getaways. And a lot of it is coming from C3 Brooklyn themselves. They are investing a lot of their time into making sure that social media is aware of their presence here in New York.
Okay, now C3 takes a firm stance against homosexuality, claiming that it's a sin. Yet it's setting up shop in these like liberal areas here in liberal cities. Do they see any dissonance here? So how do they address that?
You know, I wasn't able to reach the pastor for the time the deadline came. I wish I could have talked to him about that. But from the sermons that I'm seeing, they don't address it. And again, I haven't been to all the sermons. I don't want to speak as ex cathedra, but it sounds to me like they're saying, let's just talk about love and not getting into the specifics.
Okay, let's talk about their fundraising. They're reportedly bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars. How do they ask for money and where does it go?
They're doing it in their sermons and on their website. You know, where it goes is a big question because as a tax-exempt institution, they don't have to file returns and there's not a lot of information available. But it is ending up 3%, according to a document I found, is ending up with C3 Global. And that's the institution in Australia that is saying very clearly, we think homosexuality is a sin.
Is it based out of Australia?
Yes, it is.
Now, C3 Church has a history of its leaders being accused of sexually abusing children. This is going back decades in some cases. How did it respond to those allegations and in some cases actually convictions?
Well, the saddest story comes from Australia in 1985. A kid named Jason Ferguson told his pastor that he was being sexually abused by his stepfather. And the C3 pastor responded, it's partially your fault and please don't tell anyone. Just pray for forgiveness. And the kid didn't. He didn't tell anyone.
So is there any oversight over the church? Anyone holding it accountable?
That's the question that I would like to know. They claim that there's in-house oversight going on, but I wonder exactly how intense that is. It doesn't seem to me like I'm seeing a lot of it coming from the government.
Okay. Kathleen Culleton is a reporter for the news site Patch. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.